ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
That is just a fact of life.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history, Pedro Fernandez.
Woo, it's going to be good.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos. Ladies and gentlemen, emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar sports byline studios. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. Often imitated but never duplicated, 37 make that 38 plus years now of being on top. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am an ever so modest host. Of course, I'm also an award-winning writer, and I'm a four-time Golden Glove champion. So allegedly, supposedly, I know a little bit about boxing. But I've always found that the average fan has an insight I don't have. So give me a call on the toll-free if you want to talk boxing. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, there's also the guilt-free, no-commitment text line. That number, 415-275-1613. You want to text us here in the studio? Don't want to come on the air? Bottom line is you can do it via the text line, 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. Of course, we're live on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel, live and delayed. Of course, Ring Talk Live Worldwide is WBC Boxing TV. The live stream comes to you at Twitch.tv. Of course, the Sports Byline USA channel. You can catch us live and delayed there. The old shows, the new shows, it's all happening. Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. The Godfather, the retired HBO Godfather, Larry Merchant, will be here in about 10 minutes past the hour. So the Godfather will be in the house. If you want to drop a couple lines as far as the texts are concerned to him, you can. 415-275-1613. Text Larry Merchant here in the studio, 415-275-1613. Devin Haney, lots of things to talk about. Devin Haney, of course, and Deontay Wilder, and, of course, Tyson Fury. Going to hook it up a third time. Well, guess what? I was yesterday, we'll go to after the break. Bottom line is, my cousin Al talked a big, big game. When it came to betting, he wasn't there. We'll talk about that after the break. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. You're listening to Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC, right here on Sports Byline.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, from Louisville, Kentucky, wearing black tie, Mr. Cassius Marcellus Clay. For his first reading, Mr. Clay will honor us with a recitation of his classic poem, I Am the Greatest.
By Cassius Clay. This is the legend of Cassius Clay, the most beautiful fighter in the world today. He talks a great deal and brags indeedy of a muscular punch that's incredibly speedy. The fistic world was dull and weary. With a champ like Liston, things had to be dreary. Then someone with color, someone with dash, brought fight fans a-running with cash. This brash young boxer is something to see, and the heavyweight championship is his destiny. This kid fights great. He's got speed and endurance. But if you sign to fight him, increase your insurance. This kid's got a left. This kid's got a right. If he hits you once, you're asleep for the night. And as you lie on the floor, while the ref counts 10, you pray that you won't have to fight me again. For I am the man this poem is about, the next champ of the world, there isn't a doubt. This I predict, and I know the score. I'll be champ of the world in 64. When I say three, they go in the third. So don't bet against me. I'm a man of my word. If Cassius says a cow can lay an egg, don't ask how. Grease that skillet. He is the greatest. Yes, I'm the man this poem is about. I'll be champ of the world. There isn't a doubt. Here I predict Mr. Liston's dismemberment. I'll hit him so hard, he'll wonder where October and November went. When I say two, there's never a third. Betting against me is completely absurd. When Cassius says a mouse can outrun a horse, don't ask how. Put your money where your mouse is. I am the greatest.
Part one of two, of course, Muhammad Ali, then Cassius Clay, man, back in the day doing his thing as far as records were concerned. People don't know it, but he cut a record and actually made the top 40 list at one point in time. It was called Stand By Me. Of course, Benny King, formerly with the Drifters, he did that song as a solo. The Drifters didn't want to do it. They said, no, we're not going to do it. But it sold more records. Stand By Me sold more records than the Drifters ever did in their totality. So the bottom line is, I guess, Benny King knew what he was talking about. As Benny also tripped with the Average White Band there for a while in the 1970s. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check out your inside look into the world of boxing, MMA. You know, I can't get away from the 38-year-old former four-division champion, Nonito Donaire, now 41-6, 27 KOs. Scored KO 27 last night, of course. Carson, California. Not too many people expected that. I have to say, I didn't. Of course, I thought maybe it was the end of the day. We were playing taps for him and this kind of good stuff. But guess what? He came back and showed that he can really fire at 118 pounds. I mean, that's his natural weight. Now, of course, Nanoa Inoue, the guy that barely beat him, and of course a fight that was like a year and a half or 2 years ago. Of course, he is the IBF, I believe, and WBA 118-pound champion. Of course, the unbeaten lad from Japan. Now they're going to hook it up in a rematch. I guess that's the big fight. That's going to be a rematch at 118. Should he get through his defense, I think it's going to go down in June at 118 pounds. So Nonito Donaire back at the weight he belongs in, no doubt about that. I think 122. Although Eddie Cross thought that 122 was cool, but 126, when he moved up to 126, it was just way too big. Remember, size matters in two things, pornography and combat sports, and this is combat sports. But 38 years old, the oldest bantamweight champion of all time, and props to Nordin Obali because he didn't know what happened once he got hit in the mouth. I mean, that's sportsly what happened. One of those guys, looked like he had never been hit before. Like he just got introduced to boxing. Boxing was like, last night he was taking his boxing 101 course and flunked because he got hit in the face one time and then it was sort of like, he fell apart. So bottom line is when you hit guys in the face one time, hit them in the mouth. Punch them in the mouth like those guys following you in traffic. You know, some guy cut somebody off last week. I was watching this here in San Francisco. Guy's leaving the Broadway studios, and he's driving up Broadway, and he gets to Broadway and Van Ness, and he either goes from two lanes to one lane, so he's got to cut over and make it to one lane, and he cuts over and makes it one lane, and the guy behind him goes absolutely berserk and starts flipping him off and going nuts and throwing things out the window just about the whole nine yards. So the guy that cut him off makes a left on Golf Street to try to get away from this guy, and this guy's still chasing him. This guy's chasing him in a Porsche, okay, in this big Porsche SUV. So he's chasing him in this big Porsche SUV. So he makes a left on Golf and goes up the hill here in San Francisco or towards Knob Hill, makes a right on Pine Street, and the guy comes after him on Pine Street. So the guy's trapped in by traffic, so the guy that's being chased gets out the car and sort of takes this Filipino guy apart. Don't mess with a guy that's wearing a Muhammad Ali sweatshirt. I kid you not. It's not a bluff all the time. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. Your inside look at the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, the retired HBO godfather Larry Merchant coming up in a little bit. Devin Haney saying he wasn't hurt last night. Of course, Jorge Linares said something differently. Of course, in hour number one, and Haney said in hour number one, of course, he would like to take on Deofimo Lopez, the world lightweight champion. Of course, Lopez has a date with the kid from Australia, George Kambosos, 19-0, 20-0, of course, coming to us from down under. That's going to go down, I believe, June 19th on pay-per-view, coming to us from the Triller people have put that together. You know, and people knock them. People say, you know, they don't know what they're doing. I don't care if they know what they're doing or not. Bottom line is, if they're willing to give a kid $3 or $4 million to fight somebody than he would have made had they not been involved, I want him to be involved in every fight. Because the bottom line is, Bob Arum, the master promoter, Hall of Famer, of course, from Top Rank, a Top Rank CEO, he decided he was going to bid something like $2.5 million or $2.2 million on the fight between Kambosos and Teofimo Lopez. Well, guess what? He got outbid by Barry Hearn. I think Barry Hearn bid about $4 million, but the Triller folks bid, I think, 5.7, almost $6 million. So he's going to get 75% of that purse bid. More power to him. I mean, that's the way fighters should work. I want fighters to get paid. Unlike the UFC, we can go into that in depth. Of course, the UFC is rocking and rolling. They didn't have a fight card last night, but they've got them coming up in July, of course, in June and July, of course, in Las Vegas, and they're going to be going back to Dubai, I believe, at the end of summer. But at the end of the day, I don't think they're delivering the product that, well, maybe they're delivering the product that people want to see, but I just happen to see that it's a little too brutal for me. It just is. I mean, seeing these guys, I keep telling you over and over again, these residual effects, I see it from boxers and football players. And when I see the residual effects in football players, it seems to be a little bit more significant or a little bit more pronounced than it is with boxers. I mean, with boxers, you know, once in a while, but you see guys from football. I talk to guys from football. I won't go into his number. But a former 49er defensive backfield player, I saw him this week. He was at a sandwich shop in San Bruno, California, and he's not together. I mean, he was a part of like three or four, a couple of Super Bowls, but he's not together at all. No, I'm not talking about Ronnie Lott. Of course, Ronnie Lott, the hardest hitter probably in the history of the secondary as far as the NFL was concerned, outside of my buddy Jack Tatum. Remember Jack Tatum, number 32 with the Oakland Raiders? Of course, he was a guy that hit Daryl Stingley so hard. Daryl Stingley was paralyzed and, you know, never walked again, never played football, obviously, again. But that was a big hit. That's what they call him, Assassin Jack Tatum. May he rest in peace. Speaking of rest in peace, I drove by Ricky's Sports Bar, Ricky's Sports Theater in San Leandro, California, of course, on East 14th Street and Hesperian Boulevard. And they had the sign up, you know, Ricky's is closed, but they had the sign up that said, Ricky Ricardo, rest in peace. And sort of brought a tear to my eye because this is a guy that's been my pal for like almost 25, 30 years. Of course, he passed away in January. And the club, the theater, the sports theater, the number 2 ranked sports bar in all of America, according to Sports Illustrated magazine a couple of years ago, in one of their polls, well, it's been closed for a long time because of the pandemic. So maybe Tina and those guys will open the place up now that the pandemic has rested. So it is abating here in California. And why? Because we're taking our vaccine. For you buffoons that don't want to take a vaccine, man, you're rolling the dice. Why roll the dice with your own health? It's not worth it. Believe me, it's not worth it. How do I know? I took the vaccine, and look at me, the champ, undisputed heavyweight champion of the radio airwaves. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
Let's do it. Anybody who wants to fight, let's go.
Okay, as we bring in the retired HBO Godfather Larry Merchant, this is sort of like, who's singing that tune, Larry? Got any idea?
Well, I know the tune, but I don't know who the singer is.
It's not Benny King. Of course, Benny King made that a number one hit on the rock and roll charts. But that's Cassius Marcellus Clay.
Now that you say it, I hear it clearly.
he was multi-talented, but unlike Joe Frazier, Joe couldn't hold a note if you put it in an envelope.
You know, I saw Ali when he performed on Broadway in a play.
Mm-hmm.
It was called The Big Something. And it was sort of amazing watching him. It was at a time when he wasn't fighting because of the government embargo. So he was able to perform on 50th Street in New York City, but not on 33rd Street where Madison Square Garden was at the time. And I was constantly amazed at his ability to fall into different lives. A friend of mine, a dear friend, Stan Hockman, who was a sports writer in Philadelphia for 50 years, once told me that he came in to his house and performed the whole show for him, years and years and years after he performed on Broadway.
Are you talking about Stan Hoffman?
Yes.
Huffin' Stan Hoffman, the guy from New York City?
No, Stan Hockman.
Oh, okay. I got that wrong. So, All right.
Terrific writer and reporter. I brought him in from San Bernardino after I read a boxing piece he wrote, and I put his column in my desk and promised myself the next time there was an opening, I'd hire him. I did. He stayed for 50 years, long after I left Philadelphia.
You know, we were talking about Cassius Clay there when Muhammad Ali was Cassius Clay singing. I think every heavyweight champion besides Liston and Marciano have tried singing. I mean, what is there this? I mean, Joe Frazier, Larry Holmes, I go on. Mike Weaver, I keep going. Ken Norton.
Well, that's an easy one, Pedro. Singing is easier than fighting.
That's what Berry Gordy said. Berry Gordy, of course, was a bantamweight fighter out of Detroit. He was trained by the great late Eddie Futch, my buddy. And he went 13-2 with like 4 knockouts. He couldn't punch. But he said that, you know, the guys that were singing were getting the girls 24/7. He was only getting the girls every 7 weeks. In other words, after a training camp.
All right. Well, there were a lot of inspirations, but it was an easy gig between fights sometimes.
Okay. Speaking of easy gigs, you downsized from 3,000 feet to 1,700 reported feet. Of course, I'm talking about moving from one spot to another down there in Southern California. How's that going?
Well, every time we dug out from the chaos, for a few weeks, all we did was find new chaos. And we're about 90% in. My daughter was a terrific manager of the move, and hiring the right people. And it's very livable right now, but, you know, there are still things that happen to be taken care of. But I've been very lucky, and right now I'm sitting here in my office and looking out to Hawaii.
Okay. Is this the same daughter that fast-tracked the vaccine for you and the godmama?
Yep.
And she takes
care of us.
I guess she does. Let's give her some props. More power to her. What's her name?
Julie Merchant.
Okay. Sometimes people don't want to go with their relatives' names on the air, but Julie Merchant. Now, Godfather, you get a chance to see Devin Haney in action last night?
No, but I watched the bantamweight fight.
Okay, let's talk about that for a second. 38 years old, quite an impressive performance for the kid from across the bay, San Leandro, California, considering he knocked out Victor Chinian in 2007. And that was 7-7-2007. I guess that was his lucky day. He should have bought a lottery ticket, 7-7-0-0-7. But last night, at the age of 38 years old, beating out a younger guy. But some people were not all that impressed with the skills of the WBC champion coming in.
Well, there are so many titles out there.
Mm-hmm.
And subtitles and other titles. That unless you're a very close observer of the boxing scene, all you know is you're getting some kind of a title at stake. And that's the business side of the game. There are multiple titles in each division, not just in the four major
section of bodies.
Yeah. But within them, it's So that's why you hear so much about fighters trying to unify the titles.
But don't titles are trinkets. Remember, back in the days when I was a writer of note, God, 20 years ago, I used to call it a belt a trinket. I mean, trinkets are important for a boxer's psyche and eventually his pocketbook.
Yep. And look, it's always existed. Once upon a time, there were rankings of state fighters in Indiana, in California,
yeah,
in Pennsylvania, in New York. And all of this was a way of trying to distinguish which boxers out there had a shot. And also a way to attract an audience. And so it's always gone on, but not to the international degree it is today.
If you invest in the amateur program, you will get better pros. England is a classic example of that. Josh Taylor last week, he definitely won against your boy Jose Ramirez down there from Central California. It was a good fight, but the kid from England showed he's a little bit different.
Yeah, and I thought it was better than a good fight. I thought it was a hell of a fight, and I thought it was one of those fights where you know who won, but the loser really didn't lose. Ramirez finished strong after getting knocked down twice. And so it goes. We've had some excellent fights recently. Pedro, Alvarez.
Canelo.
Canelo in his fight against the Brit. I thought last night, we had a pretty good fight. I didn't see the Haney fight. You could tell me about it.
Haney got shook a couple times, but he won a 12-round decision. 115, 113 was the closest card. The other two judges had 8-4 in rounds.
You know, I'm sitting here, and I forgot the name of the bantamweight.
Nonito Donaire.
Donaire. I thought he, you know, in the fight we were talking about before the champion beat an old ex-champion, Linares,
mm-hmm,
to be expected. But here we find Donaire, who is an ex-champion, beating some kid who had a lot of bounce, but Donaire just knew exactly what he was doing with him. By the way, Donaire's wife was in the corner.
Rachel Donaire.
I didn't know that was going on.
she is a very strong personality. Can you grasp what I'm trying to say there?
No, I am. When we used to have fighter meetings, she would come to the fighter meetings with Donaire before our fights to prepare for the show. And she was a very strong personality, and apparently they've broken down his skills and plans, and she was reminding him of what they had hoped to do, and blah blah blah, and he did it.
You know, Godfather, I hate to interrupt you, but there are promoters and managers across the world that hate her guts.
Really? Why is that?
Because she stands up for her man.
You mean in negotiations?
Yeah, she was the actual manager.
Wow. That's a story. Somebody's missing that story.
No, she's an assertive lady, and she's in control, no doubt about that. The retired HBO Godfather Larry Mercer is going to stick with us for another break for us, surviving the move down there in Southern California, City of Angels, from one spot to the beach. Checking out, he's looking in Hawaii, baby. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
So good, I got to hear. Wow, I feel nice. A sugar and spice.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
So nice, so nice, I got you.
You're listening to Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC, right here on Sports Byline.
Check it. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, make that 40 minutes past the hour. Hour number two, of course, Sunday edition. 2 hours. We start at 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern time. The retired HBO godfather from Southern California. I'm talking about Mr. Larry Merchant is in the house. He's also in his new house. Congrats to that. Larry, 1973, Joe Frazier, of course, lost the heavyweight championship to George Foreman, and the Oakland A's Oakland A's with Charlie Finley, their owner. I remember him real closely, real fondly around here. Won the World Series for the second year in a row. But I thought the star of 1973 was a horse in Secretariat. Was I wrong? Am I wrong?
No, I agree with you. Secretariat was, as an agent, in show business one told me, was the kind of leading character whose name would be above the title of the movie he was in or the book he wrote. He was a superstar, an unforgettable beast.
That, you know, I remember him winning, I guess it was the Belmont Stakes. Is that the final of the three?
Yeah, what, 30 lengths, 50 lengths?
Something like that. I mean, it was like there was such a distance. I was working in the barber college here in San Francisco in 1973, before I cut hair. My uncle ran the barber college here in the city, and I used to work there on Saturdays. And I'm watching this horse race, and my uncle saying, take care of the cash register. And I'm saying, look at this horse, look at this horse. And he couldn't see it, because the bottom line was I needed to ring up these haircuts, okay? But he couldn't see what I was seeing. I was watching sports history right in front of me.
Well, you know how racetrack announcers say, and down the stretch they come?
Yeah,
in that case, it was down the stretch he comes.
Yeah,
he was so far ahead of everyone.
All by himself. Now, Godfather, my cousin Al Fernandez up there, we went to a party yesterday at Dave & Buster's for one of the kids. Jay turned 14. And he was talking all kinds of smack that, you know, Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder are going to fight a third time. So he said he was going to get bet big on Wilder. So I said to him, I've got 500. He said, how big do you want to go? And then he started squirming. So what I'm trying to tell you is that this is the box. People are talking about the big fight, the heavyweight fight, Wilder and Fury. But people give the street fighter, I think, more creds than he should get. He lost 17 of the 19 rounds. And if not for the three punches that he landed in those two rounds, the combination of one point and that single shot the other time, he wouldn't have won those rounds.
Well, that's a round by round, analysis, but in fact, both fights were entertaining.
Okay.
And people see them as, elite heavyweights, which they are. Mm-hmm. And, if we get another entertaining fight and then it leads to a bigger fight, that's all good.
You know, Canelo Alvarez added 400,000 buys or 400,000 members to the DAZN a couple of weeks ago. Imagine if HBO had those. I mean, if HBO was back in the boxing game. And here's what I'm saying. And I'll bring this up. I'll ask you this again because, you know, Showtime still doing boxing. Is there any chance of HBO ever resurrecting a boxing program?
Is there still an HBO? I just read about AT&T selling off parts of themselves. These are the people who came in with a grand plan, which included eliminating boxing, which had been such a winner for them over the decades. So I don't know. They used to say they would leave it open and that they weren't going 100% out of the business. But so far they have.
You know, I remember that female CEO was hired at USA Cable when USA Cable was doing great numbers on Tuesday night as far as the USA Tuesday Night Fights were concerned. Not some of the greatest fights in the world, but everybody tuned in because that's what you did. Anyway, they were doing great numbers. She came in. She said it wasn't a good image for the network, and she dumped boxing. Yikes.
That's showbiz. That's so it goes. And that's presumably why they brought her in.
Okay.
To take a big overview and decide what they're selling.
Okay. Teofimo Lopez getting around $4 million to fight George Cambosos when Bob Arum laid out a plan for him. He was only getting about $1.7 million. The fact that he's making almost three times as much or more than twice as much going with these tech guys, this and that. I'm for guys getting money, Godfather. I really don't care who promotes the fight. I mean, Bob Arum got $700,000 to step aside. But the bottom line is if these guys want to give more money to the fighters, I'm down with that.
Look, the fighters put themselves on the line. Very few of them escape without damage. They're there to entertain us. They're there to show what the human spirit is like. And they deserve the money because their careers, for the most part, are going to be very short. But when you get into the elite categories, they're expecting more than a lot of money. They want a lot of money.
Well, and I think they should get a lot of money because, you know, I mean,
if they're selling it and people are buying it, absolutely. Look how well Floyd Mayweather did for himself when his fights went streaming or. When people were willing to put up a lot of money to have them in their yard,
you know. But well, the excitement stopped when the bell rang. I'm not a big Mayweather fan, so I mean,
I agree.
I have a hard time. I have a hard time bringing him into the mix as far as the all time greats and things like that are concerned. I don't want to say he has an asterisk next to him, but. I'll just say he was a good 130, 135 pounder.
Agree with you, but in terms of making money, and boxing is a business as well as a sport, I don't think anybody in boxing history has made as much money as he has.
Okay, so is he exposing the boxing promoters as being pimps then? I mean, the fact that he's able to make all this money if he had a promoter, he wouldn't have made that kind of money?
Well, he had a unique background with all those family members who were boxers,
mm-hmm.
and they steered him in a certain direction, and he is very shrewd about matchmaking and the business side of it, and struck a note coming along at a time when there were no American heavyweights and no American stars, and he made it work.
Okay.
That's another story from, as I used to say, and as you just said, the entertainment stops once the first bell rings.
Yeah, well, but you know what, Larry, as many as you and I feel that way, there are people that feel the exact opposite of us, and they're enlightened by his boxing performance, so I'll just let it go at that. Andre Ward has one chin. Do you know what that means, Larry?
No.
Well, he had two chins for a while there. In other words, he's losing weight. He's getting in shape. I suspect he's going to try to make a move at Canelo.
Well, that's a good suspicion. And probably could make more money than he ever made in his career because he was not a box office star.
Yep. He's probably a bigger star at ESPN and behind the mic there at HBO than he was than he was as an actual boxer. But they're talking about he looks like he's training, and I guess the fight would have to go at 168 pounds. He'd have to come down to 168 pounds and meet Canelo. And my word was, if I was Canelo and Ward wanted to come back and fight me, I'd say first fight only, but I wouldn't give him a tune-up fight. I wouldn't allow him to get his skills back. In other words, I would just take advantage of him. Do you feel me on that?
No.
Okay.
I don't.
Okay. I
think it could be to Canelo's advantage if he goes out there and puts on a good fight or two to show that he's ready to take on the best fighter in the world.
Okay, but the Canelo's people don't want to lose, and Andre Ward has the talent and the size to possibly beat him.
Well, he did when he was fighting regularly or semi-regularly, but he's been away from boxing for how long? 3-4 years now?
Good point. Jermell Charlo, the WBC middleweight champion, undefeated, of course, one of the Charlo brothers, and of course, Charlo's mom, a very distinct personality in the world of boxing. He's got to go to 168 if he wants to become a superstar and fight Canelo, correct?
Yes, and I suspect he's on Canelo's dance list. It's about making a good fight and making the most money, and everybody from light heavyweight down to junior middleweight has ambitions to fight Canelo.
Okay. Yeah. Earl Spence and Manny Pacquiao, looks like that fight's going to go down in August. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I didn't think that Manny had a chance against his last opponent.
Myself,
too. I don't think he's got a chance against his next opponent, but he won his last fight, and Manny is another story, another character, and if he can still come out once every year and a half and write and be a reasonable facsimile of himself, maybe he will do better than I think he would.
Okay. If Mayweather gets bounced around by this Logan Paul guy, this 0-1 guy, I looked at him, he looks like a lumberjack with a beard, or maybe a guy from an Amish community with a beard. But if he gets bounced, that would be the ultimate embarrassment for him. Do you think that there's any chance of that, or is he playing it so safe that as there's no chance? What do you think?
Mayweather will cut him up.
Cut him up. Okay, and make a bunch of money doing it.
Yep.
Okay, so how's the godmama reacted to the move? How's she feeling?
Well, we're sitting out here and enjoying the view and settling in and finding out where the best restaurants around are and trying to learn the neighborhood. And we have a lot of friends in Santa Monica. We're still Santa Monicans. So I think that this is a good move at this stage of our lives.
Always insightful, the retired HBO godfather Larry Merchant, the husband of Patricia Stitch Merchant. See, I got that name right. Say hello to the godmama for me.
Thank you so much, Pedro.
The one, the only, Larry Merchant on Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
May 24th, 1968, my man Bob Foster captured the light heavyweight championship, knocking out the great Dick Tiger in the fourth round to capture the WBA and WBC light heavyweight title. Of course, that was at the Garden, Madison Square Garden, New York City. Round number four was round of the year. And, you know, my memories of being Bob down there and Albuquerque, New Mexico, when I worked for Lenny Fuentes. Thank you, Lenny, for introducing me to Bob Foster. But Bob Foster and I were at the International Boxing Hall of Fame, I guess, circa 1993, 1992, somewhere around there. And Archie Moore was there, of course. And Archie Moore and Bob Foster were both light heavyweight greats. So Bob Foster was in one room, and Bob had a couple of beers. And Bob said to me, you know, I say, Archie Moore's over there. He said, yeah. He goes, you know, Archie couldn't hit me in the ass with a ping pong paddle. I go, really, a ping pong paddle? No, he couldn't hit me in the ass with a tennis racket. That's what he said about Archie Moore, right? So I went in the other room, and I was talking to Archie, and I happened to bring it up to Archie. I didn't think there was going to cause a riff. Anyway, I said to Archie, I said, you know, Bob Foster said you couldn't hit him in the ass with a tennis racket. First he said it was I snitched him off. I said, first he said a ping pong paddle, then he said a tennis racket. So Archie Morris looks at me, and I don't know, just got this queer look on his face. No, I don't mean gay. And he starts taking off his tie, and starts taking off his cufflinks, and this and that, takes off his coat, this and that. And then I start to click about 35 or 40 seconds into this that he's getting ready to fight. He's going over in that next room and going to take on Bob Foster, right? So I've started this rumble between these two light heavyweight greats. What the hell am I going to do? Pedro, the big mouth, got you in trouble this time. So anyway, I'm going, Archie, I was just joking. I was just playing. Bob didn't say that. He goes, the MF better not have said that. I'll go in there and kill him. Guy was like 80 years old. You don't mess around with Archie Moore. Of course, Archie Moore, the light heavyweight champion, the old mongoose, retired after that fight with Muhammad Ali, I believe, back in 1960. Of course, he failed in the fourth round. Of course, the guy that really made Rocky Marciano retired. He knocked Marciano down in that title fight. Of course, that was Marciano's last fight. That's the fight to sort of convince Marciano that if a light heavyweight was knocking him down, that Sonny Liston was going to kill him. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. I want to thank Mauricio Suleiman for his abbreviated performance today due to the fact that the internet went down here at the Sports Byline Studios. I want to thank Larry Murphy. I want to thank Devin Haney for a pretty good performance last night. Devin, San Francisco's very own. Of course, Jorge Linares deserves props as well. But the fighter of the month, if not the year thus far, has to be Nonito Donaire of San Leandro, California. Nonito, hands off, my brother. You are the fighter of the year thus far, no doubt about that. Champ, you look great last night. You and your wife, Rachel, what a team. Can't say enough about the team of Rachel and Nonito Donaire bringing them to the WBC Bantamweight Championship at the age of 38 years old. Until next time, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide coming to you Saturday and Sundays, 11 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, and Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel.